Welcome to Between the Lines. Listening to literature online. This is show number 155. Feel the Water. There's hardly any literature in this show. It's more Between the Waves or something like that. A big topic, talking about water and consciousness and what's happening with Standing Rock. We look at the world. There's a garbage patch in the ocean. In Fukushima, there's radiated water into the Pacific. Rivers are polluted. The Amazon, Chevron, Texaco polluted. The Gulf of Mexico, BP polluted. It goes on and disgustingly on, which is why this is such a key time and why what's happening with Standing Rock is so significant. After recording the main part of the show, I saw a woman with a t-shirt, Fire Island Lifeguard, and I thought, interesting how the settler society sees someone who saves a human being from the water as a lifeguard, but what about the water itself and all the critters that swim and live with the water? This is your host, Monk. Thanks for listening. This show being recorded with next to by the bay. Maybe you can hear the water, the sounds of the water up with the rocks. The sunlight beams are reflecting with the water. Blue sky with clouds. It's a little chilly. There's some workers in the distance. You hear some noises. On the drive to the bay, I saw a license plate by the sea. So that was one of those little signs that said, yep, this is the thing to do. This is the place for me to be, to share some words and stream of consciousness, if you will, about water, about what's going on with the world, and in solidarity with Standing Rock, the great Sioux Nation, the protecting the Missouri River, what they call the Minnesota. And when I've heard Native people speak, they've asked, well, people ask what they can do. And along with sending supplies, giving money to help donations, over and over and over and over again, I hear them say prayers. Prayers and solidarity with the water consciousness. So, what are prayers? First off, that word is varied to people. To some people, it's praying to God to give them what they think they need or want. For others, it is a state of meditation and asking for healing, some form of help for some lack or some to fulfill some kind of consciousness. For others, prayer is a ceremony. Prayer is a dialogue. That's what a lot of what prayer is to me. It's a conversation with myself, with spirit, with unseen beings. Could be with other people too. But the prayer also is an energy. There have been many studies of people who, you know, had surgery or were ill, and a lot of people said prayers, and they recovered, they got well. So some people might think it's spooky or mysterious, but it's energy, it's a consciousness. Think about if you're tired or something, and somebody says something to you, and all of a sudden you got energy, or you feel down on yourself, and somebody says something to you, and then you have energy, or you hear a song, and then you're not tired and you can do something. Well, my understanding, that's what a prayer can do. A prayer is like an energy. It is an energy that somehow travels through various dimensions, and it can be received at any distance, any time, any place. It can be given or received. So there's a ongoing message board, and that's how we communicate all the time, really. But with this, what's going on in North Dakota with Standing Rock Sioux, it's protecting the water. So the prayers and the peacefulness are exemplary in the face of brutality and excess violence, because those people are not connected with the water consciousness. Now, I heard on First Voices Radio not too long ago, the host, Teokasin Ghost Horse, said something about what's going on in North Dakota having to do with the water consciousness. And I thought, what does that mean? And I thought about it a lot. And I've thought about it, and I found answers for myself and applied it. And it's ongoing. It's like water. It's ongoing. It keeps rippling. Now, it's like the water consciousness, the water. There's water in all of us. There's water wherever. It's a part of everything, and there's a consciousness to it. And that consciousness is helping bring people together. I read some article where someone mentioned that, if nothing else, the future generations, what's happening now, the whole consciousness of what Lakota call Mini Wichoni, water is life, water is sacred, water is medicine. That whole consciousness, think about that. All the people now who never thought of water in another way, younger people especially growing up with that consciousness, what effect that'll have in the future, who knows? But what an education to get. And what a teaching that I am personally thankful for from the great Sioux Nation and the Native ways and the Native philosophies. And that's part of the prophecies that I have heard, that it is a time where we are to listen to the elders, not just the elders, but the elder brothers and sisters, because indigenous peoples are a huge portion, or if not all, of the first peoples, the original peoples. So they are elders in that way. And So they're listening to what this water consciousness is, and that what a teaching, and that it's time we are applying these teachings in various ways. So I say these things because some of what it means to me, and you can take from it what you like. You know, what it might mean to you. You can think about that. Ponder it. There are lots of water puns. Ponder it. Sit by the water. Think about it. The water's soothing. It's tranquil. Tranquil. Right here, the water's back and forth, back and forth. It's like motherly. Tree of Life with Kabbalah. The waters connects with the Great Mother and the ocean. And it's soothing, and it's timeless. Even after a few minutes here talking, I realize the water has a rhythm. It's back and forth, and I feel like I'm being, my urgency to get here and talk is being put in a different place now, a calmer, just steady pace, because I'm not alone here. I'm connecting with the energy of this water, what that means. And another part of the definition, Mini Wichoni, water is life. You are that which carries feeling between us. There's a feeling. What is the feeling? That in itself is a prayer to ponder and to think, to apply. What is the feeling going on? How do we connect? How do I respond to what's going on with feeling? And that I can sit here, and because of the water and because of my thoughts and all my body, my heart, whatever, that those feelings can connect with the Standing Rock, people's there with the water, and that who knows what those feelings can do, but those feelings are constructive and healing and peaceful. And the other ones, the fat takers who are trying to make war on the water by attacking it. So it takes this a feeling. If they had the feeling and the empathy, they wouldn't do that. So the more feelings that we can put out there in the world and connect with people, the stronger the feelings get. And then, you know, it's up to spirits what's happened them, but that's just some of the focus that I'm feeling now. And I think about people who I sometimes don't connect with, or they don't respond to an email, or I don't hear from them, I get upset. But since I've been talking with the water and praying with the water more, I realize, okay, instead of just focusing on that disconnect, focus on the connection that's still there. Maybe I didn't hear from someone because who knows why, but doesn't mean there isn't a feeling between us. So the water becomes, to me, that water now has become like it's like air, in that it's in a sort of invisible way. It connects and maintains connection. So that's an unseen link, and it's also a seen link. If people are locking arms or holding hands or whatever, that solidarity is maintained. When I looked up this morning, I looked up water in the dictionary to see what the Indo-European root is, and it said wed, W-E-D. And I looked up wed, and it said wet. So there's not much there. Not much of a definition there, which reflects the consciousness that many of us have grown up with, really ignorant of water, ignorant of what it means. It's not just wet, there's so much more, as the Mini Wichoni is showing and teaching us. So I feel like I'm in the school of life, and it's an honor to be alive at this time and learning from this consciousness coming from the First Peoples. And in my way, I apply it. Each in their own way can apply what that means to them. Few other thoughts about water. The Taoist philosophy is water is a main
main symbol, a main reminder of being humble, huh? Because it says the water seeks the lowest level. Everything moves, all the waters move towards the sea, to the ocean, so everything is so seemingly disconnected. Streams, rivulets, whatever's, they're all, it's all moving towards the same thing. There are many paths to the same place. And that's what I think we need to see too, and need to be aware of, and treat other people that somebody might, you know, there might be a Lakota ceremony, there might be a Kabbalah ceremony, there might be a mix of those. You know, who knows? I did a family gathering, a Thanksgiving, which, you know, to many Native people is not a holiday, it's a day of mourning. But because of my upbringing and my tradition, it's a gathering to share with family. And I did a, like a toast. I said a few words with the water, and I mentioned what the Mini Wichoni means, and it was my way of sharing that consciousness and trying to expand that consciousness, try to raise awareness. And you know, I did something that some might consider blasphemous. Certainly wouldn't be in line with a Native way, but my heart's in the right place. I had a couple of glasses of wine before, during dinner, and then I lifted the water to give a toast. So, you know, that my point is that each of us has to look at from where we are what we can do, and that the, you know, there are traditions and ways to be fully respected, but also that each in our own way, if it's done with a good intent and a good heart and a caring, that it can, you know, you can blend traditions and ways if that is your way to do that. That's part of my way to do that, is to blend whatever traditions to me help the ocean sea consciousness, to follow this metaphor, water metaphors that are flowing through my mind. And it's not all stream of consciousness. I made some notes here because I wanted to connect what's going on with other parts of the world and other things going on in the world, because again, even though the Standing Rock Sioux and protecting the water there and stopping the Black Snake Pipeline is foremost in what I feel is such a key issue for not only what's happening with America, also known as to the Native peoples as Turtle Island, but as many are writing about, it's literally and symbolically a crossroads and reflective of all the struggles in the world, all the struggles where, you know, many indigenous people on the front lines protecting water, air, Mother Earth, nature in whatever forms, and then the global corporate empire, the resource extractors, those that are disconnected from the source. As I've heard Chief Arbol Looking Horse say, the Mother Earth is a source, not a resource. We need to respect that source. So what's happening with Standing Rock is a, you know, in a way is a battle, you know, hopefully as peaceful as can be, but it's a battle of consciousness, because those with the water consciousness know to protect the water. It's simple. It is a no-brainer. But those who are looking to destroy the water, it's not that simple, because of the complications with their minds and the way they've been programmed and brainwashed. And so, you know, it's that there's this consciousness shift going on, and it could go on and on about different topics. Most people are aware of the sustainable energy, and as a global family, we're looking to wean ourselves from oil, and so, and encourage other sustainable forms of energy. So that's part of why the you know, Standing Rock is so important. Why it can make a huge difference. A victory stopping the pipeline would just have amazing, again, no pun intended, ripple effect. with physical reality of the world and with consciousness and on so many levels. So, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, I had heard people talking about there was going to be water wars, and it sounded ridiculous. But now, again, like, I don't like to use the word war. It's not, you know, it's in quotes. There's a war going on. It's a consciousness war. And Standing Rock is one of the forefronts. And so, you know, we wanted to remain as peaceful as possible. That's one of my prayers. And to end peacefully, meaning, you know, stopping the pipeline. Because that, you know, that is the end point, though it's not the end. That would really be just the beginning. So the way that water connects when talking about, you know, the feelings that connect us in news, politics, whatever you want to call it, earlier this year we became aware of Detroit and how the city, the black, especially the minorities, the blacks, can barely get clean water. I can still see the photos of the pipes, like the water pipes just gunked up, brown water coming out of the tap. It's disgraceful. It's disgusting. It's not a basic. Some people say it's a basic right. It's just, it's part of life. It's a responsibility we have to have people have water, clean water. California and Southwest have been dealing with drought conditions for a while. Bolivia just recently is dealing with drought conditions because of their connection, location with the mountain regions, and so that's affecting them as well. From little that I've read with Tibet and the Himalayas, that the whole ice melt and things like that can have, there's this potential for this huge effects affecting humongous amounts of people. So again, that's part of the urgency to work together to come up with sustainable solutions, and to minimize the pipelines. Even in New York, not far from here, there's the Spectra, I think it's natural gas pipeline that is, I'm not sure what the status is on that, but there's a lot of people outraged, speaking out to Governor Cuomo and others to stop that pipeline, which supposedly would run near a nuclear plant, which is just, you know, how insane is that? So, but the ones that aren't connected with this water consciousness, you know, I'm saying that again because it helps me to understand how what may seem like insane or a no-brainer, it's like it still requires this kind of, you know, warlike mentality, and I mean that in a peaceful warrior way, where every day I get up, read the news, and you know, something comes up. Some days it's good news, some days it pushes my button, and I run around the apartment for half an hour and I write stuff and then I delete it or I edit it because, you know, it gets me annoyed, and I'm saying to myself, I can't respond like this every day. So it's like I remind myself, yeah, it's like there's a war going on. I have to have that mentality that there's a you know, that consciousness that says every day just got to deal with it. So that's part of what keeps me, you know, serene and focused, is to connect with the water. And I'm not, you know, I don't like to bandy about the word war a lot because it's not a pleasant word, but I find that to admit that helps me to put it in perspective and deal with what's going on. And, you know, for some who have been abused and hurt, and prayers to those people, that there are warlike conditions that have been noted. The UN has been notified, and you know, the public has seen, even though the media has been limited. A young woman had her arm blown off. I think it's maybe being repaired in surgery because of a concussion grenade. So that's the brutality side. And again, that you know, we have to face that. And and keep that in perspective as we, you know, keep the, again, with my the metaphor of the day here, that everything moving to the sea consciousness. And every, you know, different people, sometimes I talk about stuff and people sort of agree with me or don't agree with me, and they're like, well, you have your causes, and then I try to explain, well, it's not just my cause, it is something I'm focusing on a lot with Standing Rock, but it's really affects everybody, and that, you know, everybody just has to pick their favorite causes or pick what they're drawn to. It's not to diminish or augment anybody, you do what you do. I got a letter in the mail from the International Campaign of Tibet. And there was mention of Chinese demolition this year, I think, Chinese demolition of Buddhist study centers in Tibet, where 5,000 monks and nuns were forced away and their dwellings destroyed. Now, this is the Chinese government doing this to Tibet, and you know, it's horrible. And I thought of some of what's, you know, that's like minimal compared to what's happened. I mean, that's a lot compared to what's happened at Standing Rock, but it's not a matter of gauging, you know, more or less, so as much as it is realizing that psychology and the lack of consciousness that is doing those things, you know, that to me is the enemy. And that, you know, someone else may have more time, more you know, more money to give, whatever it is, the help prayers, you know, it's not like one can limit one's prayers, but just others have more attention perhaps going to help the people of Tibet. I send some of my energy there as well, so it's not really a measurable thing, but I'm just highlighting it as just to say that there are specific incidents in the world, and, you know, each of us can do what we can to where we're drawn the most, and then also to see the connection, to see the pattern, that these things are connected. And if you want to break it down to look at the geopolitics, I mean, you know, how many articles in the news talking about China and, you know, the U.S. and the strategizing and the products and all these things that are very, I mean, I find them interesting, but they're very strategy, geopolitical, and sure, it's important, it affects people's lives, and it's real in that sense. But then I get that letter in the mail talking about the demolition of the study centers, one of the biggest study centers, and you know, monks and nuns who want to spend their life in prayer. They want to sit there and just, that's why they chose that, to be able to pray, and they're forced away. It's like, you know, it reminds me how off it takes a letter like that to remind me, because it's not so much in the news. So, you know, we have to work a little extra hard sometimes to where to focus and be open to different places that we learn things. You know, sometimes you get fixated, turn on the computer and think all the answers will come from there. Well, they won't. They won't come from there. Some of them will. It is a way to connect us. There is that water consciousness, you know, even with the feelings that are connected with the computers, but, you know, that can only do so much. It has to come through other venues and prayers and however way you can do it. So that's my encouragement to people, is, you know, pray in ways that you want to pray and connect, and look for signs. Look for your own personal signs. Look for the bigger signs. You know, there have been studies done, like even a small amount of people praying would reduce crime rates in a neighborhood. And, you know, a small amount of people doing something would have a huge effect because of the consciousness shift. So, you know, don't let numbers fool you. Of course, it's important. Recently, I heard there's 1,500 veterans going to Standing Rock to support peacefully, non-violently. These are veterans who served the military. Some are outraged that they served their country and now they see their country attacking the original inhabitants. So, you know, in that case, numbers is a big deal. 1,500, that I found that uplifting. So that's pretty much what I had wanting to say and on my list, and things coming through me to say now at this time. A woman with her dog is up on the few yards away, so that's a dog is a sign of friendliness and friendship, so I'm thankful for that and her presence. And now I just want to remind myself to sit here and be with the water and to feel this water. And my prayer is that, you know, whatever was said here, whatever feeling you picked up, you carry that with you and share that wherever. So thank you very much for listening. The machinery of the wind dust blower is on, so we'll let it be with this, and may you feel well. Blessings.
And we'll go out with sections of two songs, one Purification and the other called Circulation, from the same CD as the title track for this show. CD is Elixir. It's by Yang Ying. Music for Moving and Still Meditation.